gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 6 minutes after the hour.
It's Monday, how good can it be?
A Monday after a time change.
Yeah.
I'm faking peppy. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Here, this will pep you up. Hal Sparks live in the studio in hour number three.
That's right.
The brilliant and hilarious Hal Sparks, actor extraordinaire.
And musician.
Uh-huh. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Like many, many, many right-wing morons did over the weekend.
That's funny.
Jim, you said it. The test of the moron alert system, it worked brilliantly.
Yep.
Wow. I said on Larry King last week, and of course I thought I got nothing for it. Chris, I thought nothing happened. I made a little joke about, I said, this is only good for Rush Limbaugh. He loves this attention. If maybe I could say something that would get that sort of attention, like Rush Limbaugh should be executed for treason. How about that?
Yes.
As a little, you know, ha-ha! And immediately the Warren Alert system worked brilliantly.
I want full newspaper coverage. I want magazine stories. I want books. I want films. I want TV. I want radio. I want us on the air 24 hours a day. This is our moment.
Alex from Chicago writes, Steph, your evil plan is working. I thought I'd let you know Mike Gallagher spent an entire segment on your comment.
Really?
About having Rush Limbaugh executed.
That's great.
He spent at least a half hour talking about you, Alex from Chicago. Good job, Mike! Way to go! It hit one right-wing blog, right, Chris, and then just spread like wildfire.
Yeah, it hit newsbusters.org, and apparently all of the right-wing blogs take their marching orders from Newsbusters.
Mm-hmm.
That's the test of the moron.
Because I wondered what the deal was.
Now we know where it all comes from.
Yeah. I was wondering why I 7 hours. They were on 7 hour moron delay.
Yes, they were.
I'm like, what? I was on Tuesday. Why am I? It's Thursday suddenly.
You can't say that on a Tuesday.
We didn't realize what you said. I don't even know. Somebody sent me this. I don't even know which one this is. Left-wing talk show host, desperate for attention, says execute Rush for treason. I wanted to let you know what quote-unquote liberal talk show host. I don't know, there's quotes around that.
Why?
Because they don't believe it exists.
I think those are superfluous quotation marks.
Using
Stephanie
superfluous
Miller.
Quotation marks.
Marks. Said on Larry King the other night, but I started thinking about just what a left-wing talk show host, quotes again, actually was, and wondering whether, much like a tree falling in the remote woods, if a liberal goes on talk radio to host a show and nobody tunes in to hear it, as happens with pretty much every lefty who tries to harness that medium.
No.
Did it really happen? Well, I guess it did, based on the amount of hate mail I have.
I guess it was heard.
So-called,
must have been listening.
Quote-unquote, liberal talk show host.
In quotes again.
Stephanie, quote, Miller.
Yeah, it's that's the most irritating thing about this, is just the amount of over-quotations.
Over-use of quotation marks.
I'm going to guess this person does that annoying thing in person a lot with the fingers.
Yeah.
And he also does the shooting at you with the fake guns.
Oh, God.
How you doing, honey? Okay, let's see. Liberal talk show host Stephanie Miller, who may or may not actually be such, because there may or may not be a single American who has actually heard her program, was on Larry King Live Tuesday night, where she called Rush Limbaugh's dissent against the Obama administration's Obama agenda a treasonous act. Okay, so some of the blog postings from The Germinator.
The Germinator?
Seriously, you can't get me to believe there's a left-wing talk radio host. Even if there is, by talking about it, we'll probably expand her audience.
Yes,
that's
the point.
That's the whole idea.
Yes, morons.
You figured it out.
Good.
What a bunch of twits.
Oh, boy.
Hey, she's getting popular because people are talking about her. It's almost as if...
Oh.
I had a friend over this weekend and showed her some of my hate mail, and she's like, oh, my God. Doesn't that hurt your feelings? I'm like, oh dear God. I got immune to this years ago. How about this one? You know what's odd? Some of the hate mail had a racist tint to it.
Huh. Wow. Imagine that.
Isn't it weird? This one, his handle is Marxist Obama. So right away, that's his email address, is Marxist Obama.
N-word? Is it word?
No.
Oh, it's just
like him.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, I need to have my finger on the bleep button. Here's another odd thing I learned. A lot of right-wingers use the C word very, very regularly when writing to left-wing radio host, quote-unquote. Okay, here we go. Let me get my finger on the bleep button. You are a treasonous C-word who loves, I guess I can say that word, filleting. N-word Obama.
Oh.
It is you who ought to be executed. Quite a few death threats against me, by the way, over the weekend.
Okay, those will go to the FBI.
Okay, this in kind of bigger caps than the caps that the letter started in. You, Marxist, N-word Obama, and the C-words who gave you birth.
Oh.
Ooh, my Republican mother got caught in the crossfire there.
Yeah.
P.S., you turn this over to law authorities. We have you advocating the execution of Rush Limbaugh. I'm guessing the authorities have been called on this guy before, and he was a little concerned about that.
Well, they're going to be called on him again now.
I love that he has a tape that'll play for the FBI, and I'll go, yeah, you moron. That was a joke, obviously. Oh, I'm not done. I have to spread this over 3 hours. I have to spread this over 3 hours, but I have more. This one from JR. I just read your comments about Rush Limbaugh being executed for treason because he doesn't support Sheik Obama's trail to failure.
Sheik?
As in Sheik? He obviously wasn't born in this country. He's not a...
He's a Muslim.
He's a Muslim.
He's Muslim.
Oh, Sheik as in...
Sheik.
Sheik
Yabuki. Sorry.
Yes.
Neither do about 65% of us out here.
Huh?
Actually, what's
not
the latest poll you just
either.
Showed me? NBC Wall Street Journal poll, Chris, 70% of people rating for President Obama.
I think he meant 65% of the people at his Klan meeting.
Oh, but, 65% of the country don't support
well, it's hard to understand him.
Sheik Obama's plans. You are a
estimate.
Poll for making those comments. Maybe you should be executed for being a stupid liberal. C-word.
That's another death threat. You need to hand that to me.
Yep.
To send the
FBI.
Oh,
FBI.
Oh, listen,
don't throw it away.
Okay, yeah. I gotta go dumpster diving then. Listen, you got your work cut out for you today.
Yeah, I know.
Okay,
who
Fred.
Says right wingers are racist, sexist morons. Where would I get such a crazy idea?
Fred, with the subject line, simply dumb bitch, just to catch my attention.
Yeah.
And I assume he meant me, but
sure.
You know, I read on.
Okay. Oh, boy.
This is an exercise of the First Amendment. Stephanie, you dumb, stupid, crazy bitch. You're an idiot and a fool.
How did they spell your?
That was one of the milder ones. No, they spelled it right.
Okay.
Okay. Victor writes, this seems a little threat-y. This seems threat-ish, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Conservatives have more and better guns than you, are much better practiced and comfortable with them than you, and are rather harshly unforgiving toward those who would wipe their odiferous asses with the Constitution.
George Bush better get more
security then.
And I know a lot of liberals who own guns.
Yeah.
He's sorely mistaken there.
Yeah.
You want to execute us? Bring it. Yes, I believe that's what I said. I want to execute all Republicans.
Yes.
I believe that's what I said. Thanks for paying attention.
Including your family.
Oh, by the way, you guys got caught in the crossfire. Somebody. Subject line, this woman Miller is anti-American and insane. Your station won't last long with this woman on the air. Also, I heard a male on your show said to shoot all Republicans.
All right.
Which one of you said that? Since I'm a Republican because of Obama, I really resent that. Sincerely, Bonnie.
Oh, Bonnie.
Bonnie resents whichever one you said that everybody, all Republicans, should be shot.
I don't remember saying anything like that.
No, nothing was ever said like that on this show, ever.
Okay.
I'd like Bonnie to produce a tape if she could.
There is something that sounds like.
May I just say, I would not miss hours 2 and 3 when the hate mail gets even better.
Oh, boy.
That was just a warm-up.
Let's hope that Hal Sparks doesn't get caught in this crossfire.
Yikes. Okay, let's check some entertainment news, shall we?
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Pardon me, just fishing out
the
FBI-worthy letters. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Our top story, of course.
Stephanie Miller.
Yes! Yay! Apparently the talk of the entertainment world on Friday. And thank God it's working, Jim. You brought it up first.
This is a test of the moron alert system. This is only a test. If you seriously believe that talk show host Stephanie Miller was actually calling for the execution of fellow radio host Rush Limbaugh, then you must also believe that Franklin Delano Roosevelt caused the Great Depression. You probably also believe that Saddam Hussein was behind 9/11. and that a high-speed train from Disneyland to the Bunny Ranch is at the top of President Obama's to-do list. That the moon landing was fake, Donald Trump's hair is real, and that the fossil record was created by Jesus on a dare from Moses 500 years ago. Oh, by the way, there's a Nigerian prince who wants to give... What? Hello? What? Hello? There I am. What?
This is live, and this is Memorex, Jim. Sorry.
What? Where did I go? where was I? Oh, by the way, there's a Nigerian prince who wants to give you $3 million, and he wants to give you to give me $4 million to set the deal up. This has been a test of the Moron Alert System. And yes, I do take credit cards, Nimrod. Get a brain, morons!
Good job, everybody. Right wing never lets
what
me
was
down.
That?
I don't know.
That was really bizarre.
All right, and finally, Stephen Baldwin says Hollywood is vulgar and offensive.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Actor and media personality.
Media personality?
Stephen Baldwin. He's the crazy Baldwin.
He's the star of Threesome, where he had sex with Josh Charles and...
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. He says the vulgar and offensive content in Hollywood productions is one reason why the U.S. now has such high rates of unemployment, suicide, and teen pregnancy. And that just caused by Threesome.
Yes.
The movie. And what's the other one he did?
Biodome.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He foisted
Baldwin
Biodome on the world.
Speaking at the C-SPACL convention.
Yeah.
This conservative political action conference in Washington last week said we're allowing our culture and our youth to be assaulted by the derogatory content in Hollywood.
Hmm.
Like the movie Threesome, I think, is one that would stand out as being.
Laura Flynn Boyle is the other person he had sex with.
Yes.
In Threesome. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, there was some homosexuals in there and everything.
Absolutely.
Whatever.
The whole vulgar jambalaya.
We have Jack Nicholson in there, and he got it. Never mind.
All right. We've got Stephen Baldwin. We have Stephen Baldwin?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Hollywood is a sump of vulgarity and decadence, and is the main source of the despair that is leading Americans to suicide and abortions and having sex. Well, maybe not in that order. If only movies were made with family values at their core and with a turning away from the gratuitous violence and silliness that most of them are full of, the world would be peaceful and loving and moral and chaste and loving and stuff. For sure no one would be having any sex if there wasn't any in the movies. It just stands to reason. So I'm glad I'm doing work now as an actor that is consistent with my born-again values. Take my latest release, Shark in Venice, the tender tale of a great white shark who is spreading the gospel in Venice while it eats people. Or the one before that, Harpies, where angels of the Lord spread Jesus' word to the people while tearing them limb from limb and eating them. And my guest shots on the TV series Eyes, which featured attractive women giving their testimony about their personal relationship with God while drinking martinis in low-cut dresses and killing people. Hey, the gospel is clear. Either get with Jesus like I did or go to hell. If you're feeling low and suicidal, don't blame me. My movies are wholesome Christian entertainment. You're on your own, sinner man. Talking to you, Alec.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward's Bold Roll.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True, for which there is a banner ad on the Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com.
Woo! Yee-hoo!
Morans.
Yeah, Morans.
Morans.
20 minutes after the hour. Right back with Celebrity Stack and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Holy crap!
We'll have more on these new developments after this.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. As we slog through our celebrity stack. Hey, guess what? The Octomom's publicist just realized that she's nuts. So he quit. Wow. He may not be the sharpest PR.
Yeah.
Pencil in the box. Octomom, how do you say her name?
Nadia Suleiman.
Yes, exactly. Is without a publicist yet again. Victor Munoz tells Us Magazine that he quit as a rep Friday night. It just all got to be too much. They're freaking out over there right now. Nadia got real greedy. This woman is nuts. From the Department of No.
Yeah.
Sherlock.
His first clue?
Not sure.
The fact that he's trying to emulate Angelina Jolie?
Okay.
Who is herself an interesting person.
Trump Mexico venture, you know, that was supposed to be...
Huge.
But,
huge.
No.
Muy grande.
Muy grande.
Admiration for the celebrity developer has now turned into anger and disbelief of Trump
as Trump's
hotel condo pan collapsed. Oh, dear. Leaving little more than a hole in the ground and investors out of their deposits, which totaled $32 million. I can't even stand to see Trump's face on TV, said one of them. Investors were told last month their money was spent and they won't get a penny back.
Hmm.
The project collapse comes at a delicate time for Trump, whose casino company filed for bankruptcy. He's also embroiled in a lawsuit to avoid paying debt on the struggling Trump International Hotel and Tower in Chicago, which was also supposed to be
huge.
But
huge.
Computer says no.
I was jealous of the ink Bernie Madoff was getting. It was huge. Huge.
I was just in Vegas over the weekend, and there's a big Trump Tower there.
Uh-huh.
And apparently they're not selling any condos in the thing because they've taken the letters Trump off the sign, and you just see, like, dirty spots that spell out Trump. Yeah.
Yikes.
It's looking bad.
Sad.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently condos are going for about $3 now in Vegas. It's the... Yeah.
That's the good news on the housing. Overbuilt. You can get a house for a penny in Detroit.
Well,
you can get a condo in Vegas for $14 and an all-you-can-eat buffet. Lindsay Lohan is feuding with us, Katie Holmes, in our celebutard stack.
Why are those two worlds colliding?
Somebody.
Mm-hmm. Lindsay was supposed to expected to appear on the cover of the Glamour magazine and was left fuming when the front page was given to Katie Holmes.
So that's.
Whatever.
Except she was never actually promised the cover, apparently.
No. She was mistaken.
Just in her mind.
She was mistaken.
Ah!
Okay. She went on to get another fist fight with her girlfriend. Okay. At some nightclub somewhere. Love letters, apparently written by Prince Charles to a Canadian woman some three decades ago, are now up for grabs to the highest bidder.
I want to be poutine in your trousers.
He's not going to ever top the wanting to be Camilla's tampon. That's okay.
Just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Okay.
Yes.
I'd pay for that one. I would buy that letter.
Is the word tampon, does it mean something different in British? I'm hoping it does.
No.
Computer
says the same thing.
That's the international
Oh.
Okay, K-Fed has banned their children from watching Britney Spears' concerts. He decided the shows were too raunchy.
Okay.
I guess that just occurred to him. However, Britney wanted her kids to see her perform, so she treated them to a child-friendly version of her 90-minute show, which must have been about 30 seconds. Which is... Y'all, I'm going to do it without the snake this time, all right?
Huh.
Huh? Hmm. Amy, get ready to say, what? No. Amy Winehouse charged with assault?
What?
No.
Yes. She's due in court for an alleged attack on a fellow guest at a party. The guest asked for a picture. And
she beat him up?
Yes.
Well, he tried to make her go back to rehab. And she said,
no.
She said, no. All right. Scosh, more celebrity stack and more on the economy and the Flavin as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'd recognize that voice anywhere. You're
Stephanie Miller.
That dog that plays all those fart sounds on the radio. Awesome.
Please, everybody calm down. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere as we continue our tiny little slog through Celebrity Stack. Paris Hilton has been told to stay single by her mother. Kathy Hilton said, my dating advice for Paris would be just to take your time. It's okay to be alone. You don't always have to be with someone. And by the way, stop getting filmed someone you skank. I'm guessing she went on to say that privately.
She's probably proud of that, of Paris doing that.
You think so?
Yeah, because, I mean, it got her Paris's career.
Yeah, I heard that they were very, they thought that was a good PR move.
Yeah.
I somehow can't imagine my 86-year-old Republican mother. Oh, Steph. By the way, good job on the sex tape. Oh, dear.
Your mom said while doing naked headstands.
Yeah.
Hush about that.
What?
No, don't speak.
She doesn't do that anymore, as far as we know.
She doesn't do that anymore. She hasn't done it since the 70s, as far as I know.
Okay.
Despite Kathy's advice, things seem to be getting serious between Paris and her new boyfriend, Doug. Oh, this
Wait a minute, what happened to Benji Madden?
He's bye-bye. Oh. That one's a long time ago.
All right.
Hang on, it's still 5 minutes ago. This will enrage the dog rescue people like me. It's been getting serious since he bought her an expensive pet. Doug bought Paris a $10,000 teacup Pomeranian dog when they were in Japan recently.
I am not one of your fans!
That was not a rescue.
She might want to Google how many dogs and cats are killed every year that haven't been rescued.
Maybe rescue organizations are a lot more expensive in Japan.
Yes, I'm sure it takes $10,000 to rescue a teacup Pomeranian.
I think they're called restaurants.
No.
No.
Jim. Crazy. Korea.
PETA has named Madonna the worst-dressed celebrity of 2009 because she continues to wear fur. In a statement, PETA said, when you see Madonna in fur, you realize why nobody has copied her style since 1984.
That's not exactly true.
We know she's on the prowl for a young cur, but someone needs to tell Madonna that wearing fur doesn't make you a cougar. Oh, dear. That was a little catty.
In the early days, she was wearing fur stark naked, but you know, that was...
Zac Efron, he's one of the kids all the kids are listening to, right? He's an actor, right? He's an actor, Zac Efron.
Yeah.
I can't tell a Jonas Brother from a...
The guy from High School Musical.
High School Musical,
yes.
That's it. I knew that.
Oh,
my friend's
Stephanie.
Daughter loves that movie. Okay, I've seen that.
Wow, you are so current with the cultural references.
Oh,
there's a
God.
Big poster
like
on
that,
the
I'm like that mom tragically trying to be hip with the kids.
There's a big poster of Zac Efron on the side of the movie studio that we pass on the way to work every day.
Oh, yes, him.
Oh, Stephanie.
According to thesuperficial.com, Zac Efron's mom bought him condoms for Christmas.
Oh.
After photos popped up of High School Musical star Zac Efron and his girlfriend Vanessa shopping for sex toys, his mom took it upon herself to buy Zac a little box of rubbers for Christmas, according to The Superficial. My stocking was full of condoms this Christmas. She buys me the economy box.
Economy? I don't think condoms are the...
Superficial writes, wow, if my mom bought me a box of condoms for Christmas, I wouldn't even know how to react. Besides asking, what, no hooker? No. All right. Oh, my gosh. I hope I get to go on Larry King again this week. You know why?
Why?
Rush Limbaugh said something else stupid.
What did he say now?
Did you... you didn't hear about that, huh? He was talking about a Democratic official has rebuked Rush Limbaugh on Friday for suggesting a health care proposal will be named in memory of Senator Ed Kennedy, who is, as you know, battling brain cancer. On his radio show, Limbaugh said Barack Obama's proposed health care revisions will be championed by the liberal lion, Teddy Kennedy. Before it's all over, it'll be called the Ted Kennedy Memorial Health Care Bill.
Oh.
And of course, he'll die before it's passed. And
whatever.
Isn't that nice?
That's evil.
Oh, speaking of which, in a related story, here's one of my hate letters, by the way, that I forgot to get to from our right-wing friend, Cecil. Someone named Cecil.
Huh. Or Cecil. People are named Cecil anymore?
Apparently.
If they're sea serpents.
He wrote, you should be horsewhipped, have the words Rush Limbaugh branded on your face, your citizenship stripped, and you deported out of America. Moreover, I hope Ted Kennedy suffers extreme pain requiring enormous amounts of addictive narcotics to dull before he dies. Cecil, with a lovely young.
That's not very Christian.
Yes! Our friends on the religious right, apparently.
The right-wingers are really... angry, evil, bitter, violent people.
Yes.
They're the ones who most
loudly proclaim themselves to be Christians.
Okay.
And Bill O'Reilly says the worst people are on the far left. Sheesh.
Hey, you didn't tell me this. This was on Hannity's show? Who's Dory Munson? She said something about me?
No, he is a Washington State talk show host.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
I don't think he was on Hannity.
Okay, well, I'm confused. Okay, Bernard Goldberg was on Hannity. Let's do that one, talking, defending Rush Limbaugh. Mm-hmm.
If they could make Rush the voice and the face of the Republican Party, and then they run that one little soundbite out of context, where he says, I hope he fails, without explaining everything else that Rush said before he said that.
What they've
accomplished, I think, is getting a lot of independents and moderates who don't especially like Rush, or you, Sean, with all due respect.
Little old me.
And then, little old you, and then what they create is, these people say, oh, Rush and Sean are the voice of the Republican Party, and they want Barack Obama to fail, so I don't like Republicans. I think it's a strategy that will work on unsophisticated Americans.
Meaning
and
Republicans.
Believe me, Sean, there are plenty of them.
Yeah, so by quoting him directly.
Yeah, and by the way, he said it a number of times in a number of different contexts that he hopes Obama fails. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, so Dori Monson,
yes,
who is apparently my new favorite far-right talk show host in Washington. Was this on his little radio show?
On his little radio show.
So I was not on just Mike Gallagher's show.
Right.
I was I'm happy when I can provide a topic for our friends on the far right.
Yeah, Dori talked about you for like 10 minutes.
Oh, Jim, this is the best use of the Moron Alert system ever. It worked brilliantly, I must say.
According to a leftist talk show host, Stephanie Miller went on Larry King's CNN show.
Uh-huh.
And suggested that Rush Limbaugh should be, maybe he should be executed for treason. And Larry King just moves on from there. That's their idea of how to get attention, which is why liberal talk radio is a gigantic failure. That's their idea of saying something outrageous. Hey, let's kill somebody who has opinions that we disagree with.
Oh.
Right there, classic example of why liberal talk, and she's considered one of the more successful liberal talk radio hosts.
Considered, yes.
You want to talk about a classic example of why liberal talk radio is a failure. That's what passes for clever and creative. Or funny.
Oh, sorry.
Or perhaps it's serious.
Wow, that's a scintillating show he's got.
Yeah.
Wow, can I just say that I think more people have heard of Dori Monson now because of
Stephanie Miller.
Than have ever actually heard Dori Monson's show.
Was he ever going to get over that cold of his?
I think he should be happy to be mentioned on the hugely failed Stephanie Miller radio broadcast, because otherwise, seriously, has any human ever heard of Dori Monson?
I've never heard of it. You thought it was a chick. With a name like Dori.
Sort of man is named Dori.
A guy that talks like a radio puker, ladies and gentlemen. Well, that's why she's considered to be one of the more successful left-wing talk show hosts. Well, it's why it's a huge failure.
And by the way, and I heard on the blogs, too, an entertaining edition of Republicans Eating Their Own, because they took Lars Larson and Nancy Pfotenhauer to task.
Oh, really?
For not repudiating me. And even the right-wing dopes on Larry King knew that it was a joke.
Yeah.
So the other right-wing dopes are at the right-wing dopes that were on the show with me, because they didn't get all huffy and, why, how dare you call for much execution?
And it's time for another episode of Republicans Eating Their Own.
All right. 42.
Wow, it was so easy. You're just like marionettes.
Yeah. Wow.
They do my bidding. Oh, heavens.
Ha, ha. Who knew it would be this easy?
Talking to you, Dori Monson, you big dope. 42 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
All right, this is my show, and it's a serious intellectual hour of discussion, and I want to keep it that way.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, Jim, the Moron Alert system just keeps paying dividends over and over and over again. So, Steve Young, one of our favorite bloggers, who I believe posted the original story.
Yes.
Trying to gin up some controversy for me about me making the joke about should Rush Limbaugh be executed for treason on Larry King.
Yes.
Which led to a lot of death threat letters to me over the weekend.
Yes.
He now reports the breaking news from Steve Young.
He says, I actually received death threats reporting on Steph's death threats. Death to death threats.
Oh, and the moron ripples just keep coming. All right. Meanwhile, I think we just mentioned that Rush Limbaugh suggested one of the main sponsors of the health care reform won't live to see its passage. Making a little, I guess that would be considered a little joke, Jim, that...
Yeah.
before it's all over, it'll be called the Ted Kennedy Memorial Health Care Bill. The DNC released a statement saying, Leader Limbaugh crossed the line. National Republicans must stand up to their leader, Rush Limbaugh, and tell him enough is enough.
Wow.
Huh, I wonder if they will. I didn't see anybody over the weekend saying anything about repudiating Rush. Hmm.
Ditto heads wouldn't.
Top Republicans voiced the desire to get past the dust-ups involving Rush Limbaugh and blamed the White House for orchestrating the conflict again yesterday.
They did no such thing.
They're the one that made Rush say they hope he hopes Obama fails.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The boner said this was a distraction created by the White House to divert people's attention from the spending binge they've been on in the last 6 weeks. The boner said on Face the Nation yesterday.
Mm.
He doesn't refer to the spending binge that got us to the $1.3 trillion deficit that he and his friends left us.
Yeah, the spending.
He refers to the spending that we've had to do to try to get out of that.
Right. Yeah. It was the spending binge that he pretty much orchestrated since he was the leader of the Republicans in the House.
Yeah. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich, on Meet the Press, flatly said Limbaugh is not the leader of the Republican Party. Uh-oh. Somebody's going to be groveling on Rush's show.
Frankly, Rush, I'm sorry.
Criticized Barack Obama for allowing his staff to focus on small things.
Frankly.
I see. It's the president that's playing small ball. What with all his, you know, crazy, healthcare reform and jobs creation and
fixing the infrastructure.
Housing rescue and
whatever.
Frankly.
It's he that's playing small ball.
Yes. We'll be hearing from him in stand-up news.
That's right.
Will we now? Mm-hmm. Well, I can't wait. By the way, did you hear that someone, a reporter, actually asked Barack Obama if he's a socialist? Saying Barack Obama said the answer would be no. After the interview, he called back to say, it was hard for me to believe you were actually entirely serious about the socialist question. On an interview on Air Force One, someone actually asked him that.
Was he from Newsmax or something?
One of the Times journalists. I'm not sure which Times. Jeff Zeleny.
Hmm.
He said, I did.
Sounds like Washington Times.
He said, it's hard for me to believe you were entirely serious about that socialist question. I did think it might be useful to point out that it wasn't under me that we started buying a bunch of shares of banks. It wasn't on my watch.
Right.
And it wasn't on my watch that we passed a massive new entitlement, the prescription drug plan, without a source of funding. There was just a few, he pointed out a few things about it.
Inconsistencies.
Mm-hmm. Alcohol socialist label. Okay. The president on the economy.
We inherited a big mess. That's why my administration is also moving quickly and aggressively to restart lending for families and businesses, to help responsible homeowners pay their mortgages and refinance their homes, to address the major economic challenges of our time, the cost of health care, our dependence on foreign oil, the state of our schools.
Yes, he went on the second part of the him talking about the socialist question. He said it's important just to note that when you start hearing folks throw these words around, that we've been actually been operating in a way that has been entirely consistent with free market principles, and that some folks who are throwing around the word socialist can't say the same. I constantly try to emphasize to people that if coming in the market was doing fine, nobody would have been happier than me to stay out of it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Like he also said, it's not like any president is itching to inherit a recession and go, gee, how much money can I spend? I'd love to have to pass a stimulus bill that's X, whatever. Okay. For the first time since taking office, the president is suggesting that some Americans may be overreacting to the nation's economic woes by ratcheting back their spending. He said, what I don't think is people should do is suddenly stuff money in their mattress and pull back completely from spending. I don't think people should be fearful about the future. I don't think that people should suddenly mistrust all of our financial institutions because overwhelming majority of them actually have managed things reasonably well. In the same interview, he flatly dismissed the socialist question as I... I can't even believe we're at a point where an actual reporter would ask him that.
Yeah.
Air Force,
are you a socialist?
Because Rush Limbaugh said it? Like, what?
Yeah.
Okay.
And what are their solutions if they don't like what Obama's doing?
Yeah, exactly.
They don't have any. They're the party of no. Obama talking about the jobs.
Just this morning, we learned that we lost another 651,000 jobs throughout the country in the month of February alone, which brings the total number of jobs lost in this recession to an astounding 4.4 million.
Boy, they. Yeah. Schmear. Okay. He went on to talk about...
Well, that is not a future I accept for the United States of America. That is why I signed the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act into law.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Recovery and reinvestment. That's the socialist.
That's the socialist bill he refers to. All right.
Recovery.
They oppose the very notion that government has a role in ending the cycle of job loss at the heart of this recession. There are those who believe that all we can do is repeat the very same policies that led us here in the first place.
Wow.
By the way, economists are saying the recession actually started in late 2007,
yeah.
which was long before
Thank you.
Obama was in.
The Obama recession.
Yes.
He is that powerful.
Yes.
Because he is a Jesus-like figure. He was able to start it even, because he knew he was going to be president.
Sure. Yeah, back in his time machine.
Mm-hmm.
Oprah helped him. The recessions.
Oprah helped him, exactly. Right. Like, Oprah couldn't do that, Oprah could do that.
Yeah, she sure could.
Oprah can do anything. Even Bobby Jindal knows that.
By the way, you know, we were making a joke earlier about how cheap houses are in Detroit?
Mm-hmm.
With homes selling for as low as $1, outside buyers are heading to Detroit to buy deals in bulk.
Yeah, wow.
Wow! You know what? I'll just buy the whole block. You have change for a 20?
By outside buyers, they mean China?
Wow! You need change for a 20 to buy a whole block in Detroit. That's, mm-hmm. that can't be right. Okay, the president on the
So for those who still doubt the wisdom of our recovery plan, I ask them to talk to the teachers who are still able to teach our children because we passed this plan. I ask them to talk to the nurses who are still able to care for our sick, and the firefighters and first responders who are still able to keep our communities safe. I ask them to come to Ohio and meet the 25 men and women who will soon be protecting the streets of Columbus because we passed this plan.
Teachers, nurses, firefighters, police.
Socialists. He means other socialists. That's fine. Shh. Other communists like that.
God.
They tend to vote Democratic. Okay.
All we need is more tax cuts.
The boner.
We can send a strong signal to the American people. Yeah. By extending this spending freeze through September 30th. Let's show the American taxpayers that we get it.
Yeah, it should be the top of our list.
It's been the top of our list. Spending freeze. You don't need jobs. You don't need teachers, firefighters. It's communist talk.
Corey in Olympia, Washington apparently is the one person that knows who Dory Monson is.
No, Stephanie, unfortunately, he's fairly well known in Seattle. He's one of the voices of the Seattle Seahawks pregame show.
Oh! Hey, everybody.
Oh, he is on every TV commercial. It seems like he is the real original media whore because he does every commercial that he can get his hands on. He is a little man in more ways than one. He was actually a fairly normal guy until 9/11, and then something happened to his brain.
Oh.
And he went way. I mean, he's a Lars Larson wannabe. Now, how's that for a goal?
Oh, dear.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
He's majorly idiot. And I think it's just hilarious how you guys made fun of him because now I'm going to tell all my friends.
Thank you. Thank you. And please call Dory and tell him I said he's a Moran.
I will.
Tell him I said.
You are an idiot.
A lot of people may not get that reference. But
what?
But the Moran thing. But
oh.
the sign. Someone was protesting something, code pink, or I don't know what it was.
Get a brain, morons!
They spelled moron wrong.
Yeah.
It's kind of a famous sign.
Yeah. I point that out, that frequently my hate letters have a lot of misspellings. The
yes.
ones particularly calling me stupid. In really bad grammar. All right, yeah, he's the far-right talk show host that had a thing or two to say about, you know.
Stephanie Miller.
Okay.
At least he called you popular.
Yes, apparently I'm the one of the most successful of all the failed liberal talk show hosts. I think he got that talking point from his buddy Mark Levin. I believe Mark says
that's where
that
they get all the talking points.
Yes, that's where everybody gets their talking points, apparently.
Stephanie Miller, one of the most popular and funny liberal radio hosts in the country.
Thank you, Mark. 57 minutes after the hour, back with stand-up news and much more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, and I feel good. Hey, all right.
is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LeBoy. Voice, Dee Jim Ward. Me, Stephanie Miller. Comedian and actor extraordinaire, Hal Sparks, live with us in the studio for the entire hour three.
Yes. And he's a musician, too.
Indeed he
is. But he's not from the band Sparks, as far as we know.
No. 01. That's
the All right. In case you haven't been paying attention, the top story last week.
Stephanie Miller.
In the right-wing circles, the test of the moron alert system worked brilliantly. I went on Larry King and made a little joke. I said this controversy is only good for Rush Limbaugh. If I could just say something to get that kind of attention, like maybe Rush Limbaugh should be executed for treason. How about that?
Yes.
Which clearly everybody even on the show knew was a joke. Anyway, so it hit the right-wing websites and, I even won an award, Chris. Look at this. I was all the talk of the right-wing radio hosts on Friday because they all actually believe I want to kill Rush Limbaugh.
Thanks for the free publicity.
You are an idiot!
Stephanie Miller wins P-Brain Award. There's a right-wing website called moonbattery.com. I guess that would be for left-wing moonbats, as Bill O'Reilly calls us.
What about right-wing moonbats?
I don't know. But thank you, moonbattery.com. Joanne from Boston writes, Steph, I bet you didn't know you've won the P-Brain Award. And your mom said you would never amount to anything. Oh, dear. My mom will be so proud. And they have a little graphic of me with my head open and, I don't know, a little pea brain. And thank you for the publicity. Okay, let's get to the hate letters this hour. Wow, did I have a weekend, Christopher.
Yes, you did.
Ooh, our FBI file is getting quite a large.
Yeah, it's getting big over here.
That was a lot of C words, a lot of, kill you,
girl! I kill you with rock!
Exactly.
I'm hitting you
in
head
exactly.
with rock.
It was like 50 or 60 versions of I kill you with rock. That was, or paper or scissors, either way. Okay, Bert writes, what? Dear Stephanie, I wish I could say I found it shocking that you suggested on Larry King, no less, that Rush be executed for treason. I want Obama's policies to fail and every red-blooded American who's not a welfare case or acorn worker or union member or teacher or farmer or a member of any of the groups
members.
Who votes and have been bought and paid for by the Democrats wants his policies to fail. Oh, you're not a red-blooded American if you don't also want the president to fail.
Oh, okay.
I
and
see.
The whole country to fail.
Mm-hmm. He is intentionally destroying our country, and I really believe he hates our country, as do millions of other Americans. What? That's right. We all hate America. That's right.
So
I want us to fail, and the president to
so what's your
fail.
Solution?
He doesn't.
But you didn't have
he
one.
Didn't offer
no,
one. Bert of course didn't not. Offer one. Okay, golf's bad. I don't know, that's his handle.
Oh.
No name. Ms. Miller, you think Rush Limbaugh should be executed for treason because he's not in favor of this country becoming a socialist state? Are you kidding me? He's
yes, a... she's kidding you. You fell for
yes,
it.
Yes, Moran.
You did.
He's an entertainer. Have you ever heard of Jane Fonda, you stupid bitch?
What? You did her workout in the 80s.
Sure, I did.
Yeah, you've heard of Jane Fonda.
Sure.
You ever heard of non sequiturs?
That is
cheese
treason. You are a dumb bitch. Well, you just said that. You are a
repetitive
moron, and I hope and pray that when the terrorists strike again, and they will, that you are
hope.
Right there to see it first hand, spelled H-A-B-D.
So we're the ones who hate America, and he's the one calling for more terrorist attacks. You kind of saw 9/11 firsthand. You were in New York at the time.
Anyway, and they will, and you are right there to see it first.
Habida?
You dumb. C word. You dumb. C word. Another C word. That was one of the milder ones because he didn't threaten to kill me. He just hopes that the terrorist does.
And, okay. Yeah, right.
Then I see the attack right. first habbed.
Habbed.
Okay. Oh, Julie and Jay. It's a couple.
Oh, I'm sure they're a lovely couple.
Write hate letters together. Stays together. I love the husband and wife teams. The tag team writing. Honey, come on! We're writing to the liberal skag now! Julie and Jay, howdy do! We brought a casserole! Okay. Julie and Jay, right? Ooh, this is quite long. Okay. So you think Rush should be executed and without trial for treason? I don't think I said without a trial.
No. You didn't say anything about a trial.
For treason. So what about all the times in the 8 years previous that you people called Bush a Nazi and a war criminal and a C word?
Never.
I can honestly say, I travel in left-wing circles, I have never heard anybody call George Bush the C-word.
In England, they probably did, but...
How are you all...
George Bush isn't a Nazi. His grandfather was.
His grandfather, technically.
Was an actual Nazi. Yeah.
And how you all went on and on about how you hated to be American because of our mentally challenged president. Okay, well, that part's true.
Yeah.
And his so-called war crimes.
So-called.
She put those in quotes.
Mm. Okay. Superfluous again.
Yeah. We'll see how we'll see if the Hague uses air quotes.
The Hague.
On
which
war
is in
crimes.
Holland.
Okay, and this... You! In caps. Should be... should be done for treason.
Done?
I don't know what that means. Tried? Killed? Something? You should be done.
How about medium rare? Should be medium rare.
Done?
For treason.
Or, you know, like someone did you?
The idiocy of all you stuns me. Okay.
Oh, okay.
You people go on about all the horrible spending Bush did for the war on terror, and yet your beloved Obama has spent more money in the last 6 weeks than Bush did in the entire 8 years.
No, that's not remotely true.
That was a Mitch McConnell lie. Anyway, Obama is the worst nightmare this country could have elected. I don't blame him. He's just another smooth-talking politician who happens to be beautiful and mixed race and Muslim.
Muslim.
I mean, how could he have possibly lost? You and all your idiot friends are so riddled with the white European Judeo-Christian Western guilt. Yes, that's why I voted for him.
It's
a little clunky, but that's why.
I bet he was, what's-his-face is none too happy about his wife calling Obama beautiful. I think she has kind of a...
Poof. CNN, MSNBC, CBS, New York Times, LA Times, et cetera, should all be done for treason.
Oh, this is a continuation of the same letter? Oh, my
for
God.
For the lies they spouted leading up to the election, it's going to get very, 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 very ugly in the world due to the things Obama and the Democratic Party are doing right now. I guess all I can say to you now is you get what you deserve. Idiot, idiot, idiot.
Once again.
What were the names? Julie and Jerry?
Jay.
Jay, and they took turns typing idiot. Let me do it. Idiot.
You called him beautiful? You bitch! I'll kill you!
Once again, all this stuff started during the Bush administration.
Yes.
Which Obama is trying to clean up.
And these morons don't get it.
It's been in office.
All right, just a couple more. I've got plenty for next hour.
Not even that.
Victor writes, "Hey, I have an idea. How about we execute you for your treason during the Bush years, which are looking more and more like a golden age every day after 7 weeks of Obamanation's damn near lunatic regime."
That one needs to go to me. Oh. The FBI file that had a death threat in there.
FBI file, okay. Thank you.
They immediately go to the FBI.
All right, one last one. Jim writes, "Dear Stephanie, you stupid mewing ass. If all of those who opposed wish for failure of the president and or hated the president were to be considered treasonous, there wouldn't be a single one of you dip leftists alive. How many times did you say privately you wish Bush was dead over the past 8 years? Well, none.
Computer says none.
Privately or publicly.
We wouldn't be impeached and, prosecuted. But
through a lawful process.
Yes.
Here's hoping you develop a relationship with one of your beloved religion of peace Muslim buddies. Then you can have just what you want. You to shut up, too.
Huh?
Die slowly and painfully. Jim." Is that technically a threat? Because he just wants me to die. He's not threatening to kill me, but he just hopes I die.
I don't think that's technically a threat. No.
But he'd like me to die slowly and painfully.
Just a little sadistic fantasy.
Yeah.
These freaks have.
Yeah, I don't think you could be arrested for a sadistic fantasy.
Some right-wingers are very clever about how they wish my death. They would not be directly involved. They're just saying accidents happen. Okay. What a weekend I've had. Okay. Yeah. let's check some news we don't want to lose, shall we?
Yippee! It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here at Stays Broken, our top story. Oh, yay for the Republican Party and their new ideas. Gingrich ponders 2012 run.
Oh, thank God.
He told reporters in Virginia he's considering running for president in 2012. Gingrich and his wife will seriously look and will probably get our family totally engaged.
She probably won't be his wife then.
Well, yes.
The way he goes through wives.
Whatever wife would be by then. Including our two grandchildren probably in January 2011. Then we'll seriously look at it whether or not we think it's necessary to do it, frankly. And if we think it's necessary, we'll probably do it. Frankly. And if it isn't necessary, you probably won't do it.
Frankly.
I think it's conceivable by the 2012 you could have a second Contract for America. Oh,
the first one was so...
Oh, no.
Successful.
All right. We have a nudie.
The quality of the acts coming out of Washington is atrocious, frankly. Yeah, so it's incumbent on me, frankly, to get the old band back together and show them how it's done, frankly.
There'll be myself as lead singer, of course, because who else, frankly, could hold a candle to me? There'll be Denny Hastert with his ode to pork, loose meat in a sty with cracklings.
See, it's Beatles.
Oh, I got it. Yeah, okay. Thank you. Yes.
Nothing like Denny's tasty licks, frankly. There'll be Phil Graham and his big number, a completely unregulated financial services industry thanks to the Commodity Futures Modernization Act, which will allow unfettered access to credit default swaps, bringing me lots of money. That's what I want. Doesn't have a good beat, frankly, but the hedge fund managers will dance to it. Phil Graham be the man, frankly. There'll be John DeLay and his top-of-the-charts ballad, Begin the Begin. That guy can never hold his liquor, or his house seat, frankly. And, of course, we'll end every set with my blockbuster rocker, It's My Party, and I'll Shut Down the Government if I Want to, because you made me sit in the back of the plane, frankly. That one rocked everyone's world. I can't wait to bring back the impeachment mambo, too. Frankly, I don't see how they got along without me. Kids these days don't know good music anymore, frankly. I wonder if we can get the strawberry alarm clock to open for us, or hot tuna, or better yet, a question mark in the Mysterians. Frankly, we're going to kill, frankly. Literally.
Yes.
Frankly.
Frankly. Hello. It's my new show.
Frankly.
We're starring Newt Gingrich. Okay. And finally, oh, heaven. So we did it. Jim did one of his little skits again, did he?
Yes, he did.
Last week on Bobby Jindal.
It was during the Rush Limbaugh skit where he was, Billy Mooney in the Twilight Zone episode. And he wished Bobby Jindal out in the
cornfield. Okay. Jim got a letter from Scott. I loved your skit on Bobby Jindal. One thing, though, he's not Mexican-American, but rather American-India, as in India.
Ah.
They don't say maize.
Oh,
because
he,
you use the word maize, I think.
Mm.
We call it maize.
Oh.
Instead, they say maca or maki for the word corn. Keep up the good work, though, Jim.
Okay.
Otherwise, okay, thank you.
Oh, boy. When writing short-form comedy in quantity and on a deadline, the author and performer avails himself of every device imaginable to come up with something halfway reasonable. There is, of course, caricature, satire, and exaggeration. These are trusted and effective techniques. They are joined at times by more out-there gimmicks and devices. These include alliteration for its own sake, arbitrary juxtapositions, and playing fast and loose with facts to facilitate the laugh. They in no way, shape, or form are intended to be the least bit educational or enlightening. On the contrary, delving too deeply below the surface is a surefire way to spoil the laugh, sink the giggle, and blow the chuckle to kingdom come. So when an error of fact is encountered, or a mischaracterization is floated, the discerning listener will pay attention to the context and the intent of the assertion. Assuming the comedy writer is a dunderhead who needs to be shown the error of his ways is both fruitless and wankerific. So when you're listening to the fruits of comic genius and you're getting a big old chortle on, leave it at that. You will feel better, and the comedy writer will too. Here's laughing at you, kid.
That's all for stand-up
Someone's
news. I'm here
fix
all week.
That project.
Tell your
yes.
friends. Yeah. Where's AV Guy?
See, there was a commercial for Mazola corn oil
yes.
in the 70s, and there was a Native American woman standing in the middle of the cornfield.
Yes.
It said, made out of corn, but we call it maize.
Yes.
That's where that line comes from.
I took the fact that he was an Indian, not that kind of Indian.
Yeah, we get
Bobby
it.
Jindal.
Yeah, we get
and
it.
And we threw him in the cornfield. He called it maize. See, because it's a...
Okay.
It's always so much better when you explain
Whatever.
It.
Whatever. Yeah, my favorite was the complaint letter you got when you did, the wrong dialect on a mouse you were playing from Canada or something.
Whatever.
I think it was doing a Saskatchewan dialect, and it should have been Nova Scotia.
Oh.
Jim writes them back. Well, I realized that was a... It's a mouse, you idiot! I'm playing a mouse! All right.
It's a talking mouse! What don't you get about that?
If you like more Jim Ward, Balderall.
Check out Apocryphal But True. Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True. There's a banner ad for it on the Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com.
There you go.
I'm going to send that projector in to get fixed.
Boy, 20 minutes after the hour. Right back with more on the economy as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, sorry about that. The show's gotten a little lowbrow.
What are you talking about? It's like the most hilarious show ever.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. And now, here is a custom request for Jim Ward, voice deity.
One of our listeners in New Haven, Connecticut, Jose Luis Paredes, sent me a letter, and he says, in honor of my birthday, happy birthday, Jose, I wonder if you could give a shout out to my kid Colin, who recently had eye surgery, as a Captain Quark from the Ratchet and Clank video game.
So, played by Jim Ward, voice deity.
Here comes, yes,
in
here
one
comes
of
a
his...
bit from the very successful Up Your Arsenal from 2004. You had to change the title in England because they, that's actually what they call it.
Okay.
Captain Quark, Colin, I realized you aren't wearing your regulation Q4's green art tights. Instead, you seem to be wearing some kind of hospital gown that exposes your popo. I suggest you get your publicly displayed butt back in uniform before I write you up for a dress code violation. So.
That's very
good. Luck,
thank
Colin.
You, Jim. Thank you.
Happy birthday, Jose.
That's one of the many jobs that remunerates Jim Ward much more handsomely than
Stephanie Miller
does. All right, thank you.
Well, not really.
Oh, really? Oh, thank God.
We don't get any reuse at all on those.
Oh, good. Well, no wonder you're still here. All right. So, hey, have you noticed this economy sucks? That just occurred to me.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What was your first clue?
Senator Kit Bond, Republican of Missouri.
Our financial system has become clogged with toxic assets, and until they're removed, fear and uncertainty will continue to dominate markets and our economy.
Hey, isn't he fear-mongering? I thought only President Obama does that, according to the Sean Hannity's world.
According to Sean Hannity, the economy is doing just fine.
Hey, by the way, here's a neat trick they're trying to do now. It's the Bush-Obama economy. Bush, see how that is? Bush. Nudie.
There's a Bush-Obama continuity in economic policy, which is frankly a disaster for this country and cannot work.
Huh. Aren't the Republicans saying?
Frankly.
Aren't the Republicans saying that this is completely different and socialist and communist and a complete departure? No, apparently it's a continuation of the Bush years.
Oh. I see. See how they're trying to do that? They're trying to use the Bush unpopularity and turn it against us.
That's going to be very confusing to the ditto heads.
Yes, it is.
Wait a minute. We got a Bush bash?
We got a bash.
Yeah, didn't my last hate link, he called it the golden years. The Bush administration is the golden years.
The
compared
golden
to
age. Socialist
yes, yes, it's apparently. The golden age compared to this apparently disaster that has happened over the last 7 weeks.
Whatever.
Okay. Jeff Birnbaum? Oh, we don't have time for that now.
No, we don't.
But we will be back with the... Is this the Obama stock market crash?
Yes, it is.
It is in the midst of the Obama recession?
Yes. Right now, the stock market's up 43 points.
Uh-oh. That was on the Britt Bear Show.
Proper.
We will be back with that and much more on this spectacular economy as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
And I'm still a young woman, Peter. 82 is the new 74. I'm putting my fine ass back on the market.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Comedian, actor extraordinaire Hal Sparks joins us live in the studio in just a bit.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Jeff Birnbaum on the
Burper
Show. Talking about the is this about the Obama recession technically or the Obama stock market crash?
The crash.
I think that we're without question in the Obama bear market, literally since he was inaugurated. There's been a 20% decline in the Dow Jones Industrial Average. That's the definition of a bear market, and in fact the Dow is down 30% since his election. So we're not better off, at least so far. By that measure, and any other economic indicator, they're all down, basically.
And that's Obama's fault.
Yes.
Because he hasn't fixed the economy in the...
Yes, because the deregulation that caused this crash, you see, he wants to do stuff like regulate. Apparently, the market doesn't really want to be regulated.
By the way, well, the market also was susceptible to rumors, and of course, the Republicans are spreading all this cockamamie story that it's socialism, it's communism, it's the death of capitalism. And that's... That sort of thing doesn't help the markets at all.
If only he knew what he was doing about the economy, Jim, you know, like George Bush did.
Barack Obama right now, as brilliant as he is, and he's a brilliant man,
he is.
He doesn't know what he's doing with the economy.
Yeah, no, he doesn't.
He does not.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't. No. Oh, no, look what he's done.
And Bill O'Reilly has all the answers?
By the way, Barack Obama has had his job, what are we at now, seven?
7 weeks.
Weeks? Yes.
Yeah.
That's his fault about all the jobs, too.
Of course, we all woke up to the news this morning that the unemployment rate has hit 8.1% as employers cut 650,000 jobs in February. So you'll have to excuse us, Mr. President, if we don't get too excited just yet. At this rate, the so-called stimulus might save the jobs of our great, 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 great grandchildren.
Stimulus hasn't even started, you dope. I mean, February.
It's not working yet, is what his point is.
He started the job at the end of January.
Wow. I think Sean was that annoying, whiny little kid that asked, are we there yet, like 75 times.
Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Mm-hmm. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Can you imagine being married to that?
Actually, apparently she can. She keeps hugging him at these conventions.
What's wrong with you?
Oh, boy.
Oh, that's okay. Right. There's another convention, like next week or something?
This week.
Oh, boy.
8.1% unemployment.
Yeah.
This is now to the point. Did you notice the president, all he seems to want is adulation? He went out on the road again today. On the road, Obama. He seems to be addicted to the praise.
What? Yeah, or explaining what he's doing to the American people, because the obstructionist Republican boobs in Washington aren't doing anything to help him.
And people like you keep telling lies about it. What else is he going to do? Hide like George Bush did for 8 years? Go on vacation every other month?
Okay. All right. After an angry swearing late night meeting, there's lots of swearing among top Democrats. Congress voted Friday to give itself another 5 days to try to complete the long overdue omnibus spending bill that had become a growing embarrassment for party leaders and the president. Senate Democrats had abruptly pulled back Thursday night after finding themselves one vote short of the 60 to cut off debate.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, former Senator Norm Coleman. The heated, sometimes profane exchanges were described as ugly by Democrats on both sides of the Capitol. Staff kicked out in the hall could hear the yelling, and Pelosi herself seemed a little abashed the next day, joking nothing her leadership could say would match the night before. The speaker's anger directed primarily at Senate Republicans, who withheld their support even when they had substantial interest in the measure. Pelosi feels Republicans are gaming the Democrats, who have to be tougher in turn by forcing them to live with the consequences of what she sees as obstruction. Hey, which, by the way,
what?
Guess what the American people see the Republicans as?
Obstructionists.
NBC Wall Street Journal poll has put Republican popularity at near historic lows. Just 26% in the survey viewed the Republican Party positively. Compared with 68% for President Obama. That's nearly 70, Jim.
Yeah, very close to that.
Pelosi's anger is shared by many House Democrats, along with the fear that the Senate debate is being dragged out by Republicans as part of a concerted campaign to pummel Obama, even as the young president tries to keep the nation focused on his economic agenda and budget going forward. Good job. Good job. Let's see if we can get down to single digits, Republicans. Good idea. Robert in Naples, Florida, on the president. Hello, Robert. Go ahead.
Hey, if I was President Obama, I would use the gift granted to President Bush. These guys are purposefully manipulating the stock market, thus violating national security. So I would claim them to be enemy combatants, and I would throw their hindies in a jail in a hole somewhere, and nobody would ever hear from them again.
They're financial terrorists.
Yes, under Bush's rules, he could easily do that.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
Interesting. All right. Oh, hey, speaking of which, how are those Leahy hearings going? The Pat Leahy...
Yes.
What? Did O'Reilly have something to say about that?
In Washington, there are powerful people trying to rewrite history on the terror war as well.
What?
Senator Patrick Leahy and Congressman John Conyers leading the movement for the so-called truth. They want a massive witch hunt to find material that can back up their opinion that the USA waged the terror war illegally. This pathetic ideological exercise would gravely damage America, and every fair-minded person knows it, including President Obama.
You know what gravely damaged America is the policies of the Bush administration itself.
By the way, I wonder how many of those people who are gaming the system now sold short before 9/11 on companies that they're betting that they were going to tank because they knew that something was going to happen. They made a profit on it instead of maybe telling someone who could do something to prevent it.
Can I have my fine American music, please? John Conyers, the patron saint of the Stephanie Miller Show, said investigations are not a matter of payback or political revenge. It is our responsibility to examine what has occurred and to set an appropriate baseline of conduct for future administrations. Pat Leahy said there is an oversight responsibility that has to be carried out. Nancy Pelosi has backed continuing investigations of the Bush administration's Justice Department. She said, I think we have to learn from the past and we cannot let the politics of the Justice Department to go unreviewed.
Good.
I say. We're here. John in San Francisco on the President. Hello, John.
Hello. You know, I want to share something with your listeners. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the opportunity. We've reached another moment where we must say this. We have nothing to fear but fear itself. This economy runs largely on all of our abilities to conceptualize and be free right. of fear. We have to believe that this will work for it to work.
And listen, if anything, I have stepped up my box wine consumption. I am not saving
right.
a penny.
I'm calling for America to stop being fearful. You've been fed all this fear. We
right.
can do amazing things. Let's just get on with it and have some fun, people.
Yep, exactly. Who was it, Bill Maher's show? Who was it that, I don't know if it was Bill, but it was great. It was, you know, we have to roll up our sleeves. And he said, start making stuff again, doing stuff and figuring this out. You know, we're America, for God's sakes.
But, you know, that's very true. I mean, the stock market is based on mood.
Mood, so, exactly.
If the Republicans...
It's a mood ring. It's a financial mood ring.
Keep shooting down the Obama administration, saying it's the worst thing ever. It's socialism, communism, it's death of Canada, we're all going to die. Then that's going to affect the market.
Yeah, so Republicans are dangerously close to sedition here.
Yeah.
What? Mm-hmm. Oh, no. The next thing you know, some left-wing moonback will go on Larry King and suggest that Rush Limbaugh be executed for treason.
No one would ever do that.
Okay. President Obama says he hopes U.S. troops can identify moderate elements of the Taliban and move them towards reconciliation. Asked in an interview with New York Times if the U.S. is winning in Afghanistan, Obama said no, while adding, our troops are doing an extraordinary job in a very difficult situation. Yeah, we've got to change the whole dialogue about winning.
Yeah, we've got to scale back our ambitions in Afghanistan, too. It's just this, you know, Karzai is the mayor of two blocks of Kabul, pretty much.
Yeah,
The Taliban rule much of the country now.
He said, you've seen conditions deteriorate over the last couple of years. The Taliban is bolder than it was. I think in the southern regions of the country, you're seeing them attack in ways that we have not seen previously.
We could have done something about that if we had stayed there, but there's some kind of distraction. Oh, yeah, that Iraq war, which had nothing to do with anything.
Okay.
Except Bush's cronies getting
all right.
rich.
42 minutes after the hour, back with much more on the stem cells I've got a stack of stuff.
You have a stack of stuff?
I do.
Okay.
As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Big place where dreams come true.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 46 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Buddy in Columbus on the Mama News all over the right-wing internets. Hello, buddy.
Hey, love bumps. two things. Newsbusters didn't even quote you right.
Oh, no. This is the right-wing journalistic outfit that susses out liberal bias in liberal radio.
Okay, well. They forgot the line, we love this episode of Republican, and then they forgot eating their own.
Oh, yes.
They didn't put that in there?
Oops.
And the second thing is, you know, the Republicans aren't afraid that Obama's going to fail. They're afraid he's going to succeed.
Exactly. I know. Jim was just saying, what are they going to do when things suddenly start going much better? It's like, hey, I have a job in health care. Oh, damn it.
Last
I hate
Friday,
this.
Obama, first thing in the morning, he gave $500 million to, I think, Janet Napolitano, says, you go down to the Gulf and get it cleaned up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've taken long enough. We've made our mistakes. Let's do that. Then he met with people from all kinds of different opinions on fixing health care. Then he flew to Columbus and got us money so we can hire the cops. And what's important about that is Columbus has got about $200,000 in each one of those rookie policemen in training. But they didn't have money to pay for their salary.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what happens is the rich suburban districts were like, okay, we'll hire you. And then the city is out all that money and time for training these cops.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Obama shows up and helps it out. I know it's a stopgap, but at least he's trying something.
Yep, absolutely. Well, I...
We're cleaning up after Katrina. What's wasteful spending?
It's pork. It's
what
an earmark.
Guy.
That's what the Republicans seem to want.
All right. Obama to reverse Bush stem cells today.
Yes.
According to a senior administration official, today that he will overturn the restrictions on stem cell research, which will be part of an overall emphasis on restoring sound science. It's a new day.
New day.
Hmm. I'm sorry, what's that word again on restoring what?
Science.
Wow. It's back, everybody. And Mary Madeline is not happy about it.
It's sad. It's really sad that this whole issue has been so politicized because it masks the fact that there are 72 known current working adult stem cell therapies and treatments, and there are zero stem cell, embryonic stem cell treatments or therapies. And the tests that they have done, the research that they have done, shows that they're unstable. So this has become the 21st century abortion issue, if you will.
What a load of...
I just saw her on the TV yesterday. She's starting to acquire Carl Malden's nose. I'm not entirely certain why. Her nose is very red. I don't really know why.
All that drinking?
I don't know.
Yeah. But people should know that all those embryos would have been incinerated if they weren't used for research.
Yes, exactly. I've never even gotten this argument. They're going to throw them in the trash.
It's human life. They're cute little babies that need to be rescued, you know, or set on fire. What?
Yeah. Wow, this is, I guess, all they got. In a related story, a Catholic pro-life group has sent a letter to the Vatican calling on them to excommunicate Nancy Pelosi.
Really?
due to her position on choice. Okay. There's that, and guess what?
What?
Yet another lawsuit has been filed saying Barack Obama is not a United States citizen and has been thrown out of court.
The exotic country called Hawaii.
Yes. A federal judge on Thursday threw out a lawsuit questioning Barack Obama's citizenship, lambasting the case as a waste of the court's time, suggesting the plaintiff's attorney may have to compensate the president's lawyer.
Yeah.
In an argument popular on the internet and taken seriously practically nowhere else, Obama's critics argue he is ineligible to be president because he is not a natural-born citizen as the Constitution requires. In response last summer, Obama's campaign posted his Hawaiian birth certificate on its website. But the lawsuit argues it's a fake.
Do they have proof?
And that Obama was actually born in his father's homeland of Kenya. Even though Hawaiian officials have said the document is authentic.
Okay. Well, what do they know? What do Hawaiian officials know about Hawaiian documents? Nuts.
Boy. Okay. Speaking of lawsuits, Al Franken has lost a bid to force the Minnesota governor and the secretary of state to sign an election certificate that would allow him to be seated in the Senate, which sucks. Because seriously, it's getting, because things, they're being so obstructionist on the Republican side that we really, really need
every vote.
Yes.
Yeah.
Al Franken represents more than just an empty seat in the Senate chamber. He could have been the critical 60th vote on the stalled omnibus Thursday night. A Senator Al Franken would be a reliable vote on health care, tax increases on the rich, global warming legislation, and virtually any other issue, which Harry Reid finds himself hunting for a couple of Republican votes. Adding to Franken's significant, Arlen Specter is going to face a primary challenge from the right, so that means he can't possibly be seen congregating and voting with the Democrats. What's making Democrats even more anxious is the recent suggestion by Norm Coleman he may push for a revote.
Yeah. And that's why he's doing it, to keep us from getting anything done.
Which would leave the Senate seat open for several more months. Ugh. It's certainly a statement of desperation, said Harry Reid. Yeah, just think.
And also, there are a lot of blue dog Democrats who are getting hinky on a lot of things.
Election Day was in November. Minnesota still doesn't have a senator. This is crazy
that you can do this. You know, any political expert or lawyer pretty much has said this is going to end with Al Franken in the Senate. All it's hurting is, you know, the state of Minnesota and the rest of the country. Steve in Orange County on Mary Madeline. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how are you? I was thinking maybe she should impregnate herself with those embryonic stem cells like the Octomom.
Oh, Steve.
Well, I mean, if she's so keen on seeing all of these embryonic stem cells to term, she needs to carry these.
Get to work.
I think she may be past her past due date on that.
You think so?
Listen, if my eggs come out in a puff of dust, That is like an episode of Deadwood down there. Whatever's going on in there. All right.
Al Swearingen will be implanted in her uterus.
Gene in Illinois.
Except you would use the F word a couple times.
Yeah, exactly.
Stem cells. Hello, Gene.
Hi, Stephanie. Just want to say it's a happy day for me as a mother of a 15-year-old juvenile diabetic. I hope we will see a cure with the ban on the stem cells today.
Yep, absolutely. It is indeed a new day. Thank you, Gene. Thank you. We are blinding them, apparently.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's that time of the show we need to talk about Senator Roland... Burris. A county prosecutor exploring the possibility of perjury charges against Roland Burris has asked federal officials for FBI tapes of phone conversations between Burris and Rod Blagojevich's brother.
So you went after Blago, this is what you get. You're welcome.
By the way, here is another Senator Roland Burris moment. Blago gave Burris's son a $75,000 a year job. That the Chicago Sun-Times has learned. Burris's hiring raises more questions about Senator Burris's interactions with Blagojevich at his inner circle at the time when he was trying to, you know, get the Senate seat.
Whatever.
However, Roland Burris, Burris is pushing back against yet another round of damaging news stories as his aides admit they have to do a better job of dealing with the controversies bedeviling him. On Friday, the Sun-Times reported the prosecutor is seeking the FBI the tapes, as we discussed, under oath before state legislators in January. Burris mentioned only one contact with a Blagojevich aide about his interest in the seat. In the affidavit filed February 4th, he disclosed five other contacts, including one with the governor's brother. Burris later told reporters that he even tried, albeit unsuccessfully, to raise money for Blagojevich. Oh, that doesn't look good.
Oh, no.
Illinois Governor Pat Quinn and Senate Majority Whip Richard Durbin have both called on Burris to resign and for the vacancy to be filled by a special election. Burris, though, showing no signs of going away quietly. He's exploring whether to run again in 2010.
No. You know what? There's nothing that can be done about him.
That's just...
Unless, I mean, can they impeach him?
I don't. That's what I mean. I'm not. This is above my pay grade legally. They should have had the special election long ago. So the line is forming to succeed Burris anyway, by the by. The governor has said he would give Mr. Burris 2 weeks to quit before urging lawmakers to consider a special election. Amid all of it, Mr. Burris is plowing right along. He refused to resign, issued news releases about his Senate doings. And seem not to notice the line forming behind him. A dozen names are quickly gaining steam as possible candidates for the Senate seat in 2010. Our personal favorite?
Tammy Duckworth.
No. Representative Jan Schakowsky.
Jan Schakowsky.
The rocking congresswoman from the great state of Illinois.
Love her.
We love her because she's giggly. All right.
And she laughs at your jokes.
Exactly.
And that's the main reason why.
She's a great congresswoman. Love Tammy Duckworth, too, but she's just great. She has a great sense of humor, and I think she's doing a great job for the great state of Illinois.
That's right.
All right. Howard Dean says he doesn't want the job. The White House hasn't even contacted him about the Attorney General because they've stopped calling Dr. Gupta.
Surgeon General.
Yes, Surgeon General. What did I say?
Attorney General.
I meant Surgeon General.
They're
she meant
Surgeon very
General.
Different
these
posts.
These things with two names, I'm...
That'd make you a very big all fish right. If you were the Sturgeon General.
Hey.
Yes, Sanjay Gupta, as you know, has withdrawn his name from consideration. I think that's a great idea, Howard Dean. But, you know, there was apparently friction between him and Rahm Emanuel, so people are saying it won't happen. There's
a lot of friction between Rahm Emanuel and a lot of people.
Well.
He's the one that sends a dead fish, perhaps a sturgeon.
Yes.
Perhaps. Perhaps he should be Sturgeon General. All right. 57 minutes after the hour. Back with Tinsel Talk and Hal Sparks live in the studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. And if that's not enough, why? Oh, we have a door? Who is it, Chris?
It's actor, comedian, musician Hal Sparks.
Hey!
Wait.
Sorry, I rang the bell and I came right in without waiting for anyone to say come in.
Why'd you bother ringing the bell when you were already in?
I know. I don't know. Because when I get in, I ring the bell. That's
close
how
that
works.
Door now. What's the matter with you?
Yeah,
where were you raised?
It's drafty.
All right. Thank you.
In Peeksmill, Kentucky, so I have plenty of excuses. Thank you.
Comedian and actor and all-around hottie Hal Sparks joins us live in the studio.
That's good. And I'm already laughing because Walking on Sunshine is one of my favorite songs from the 80s, mainly because when I lived in Chicago, I had a friend, this girl who I really had a crush on, and she had a cat named Sunshine. And so we used to sing that over at her house all the time, running around chasing her cat, pretending to step on it, which used to freak her out, which is what you do to girls to make them like
you. That's a weird story. That's a weird story.
Totally.
Okay.
You're welcome. Good morning.
We were discussing during the break how you got, because you're a receiver of hate mail, as am I.
Oh, yeah.
I have an entire stack.
I know, but you actually respond to it, which I think is madness.
It's beyond entertaining to me because this was a test of our more on alert system and it worked splendidly, may I just say.
Absolutely.
I went on Larry King and I made a little joke. I said, Rush Limbaugh, this is only good for Rush Limbaugh, this controversy. He loves this kind of attention. If I could say something to get that attention, like perhaps Rush should be executed for treason, how about that? Mm-hmm. Which clearly was a joke and everybody on the show knew it was a joke, but then it hit all the right wing websites and all the right wing talk radio shows.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And this is what you're getting.
Because they think that
back.
I really think that Rush should be executed.
You should not call for the death of one of my heroes, or I'll call for the death of you, and we'll both be wrong in basically the same way. I love you. I'm a lonely person in a trailer. Did you see the wrestler? That's me without skills. I'm like the wrestler, except I never was a wrestler. No one cares about my Ram Jam.
You were saying when you were an actor on Queer as Folk, you would get hate mail and from people apparently unaware that you were an actor
playing
a gay person.
Nothing's funnier at first than a death threat from a born-again Christian. And you're like, how is this even possible? How did your head not blow up while you're writing this?
You don't want Christian's heads to blow up. He said it.
Right.
I believe each and every letter I've gotten this morning uses the C word.
Which one? I mean, there's so many, quite frankly. Mm. Yeah.
Apparently in relation to me, only one.
No, well done.
Would you like to hear some?
No, absolutely. I live in Ireland for a little while just so you can hear it all the time. Right.
By the way, we have quite a large FBI file because most of the responses consider of some version of, kill you!
Yes.
Rock!
God, I'll hit you with rock.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
are you saying that she should be stoned like the people who you hate would do? I understand. All right.
And also we're struck by the number of couples that write hate letters together, kind of as a family activity.
Well, I mean, there's so much. I mean, the guy holding her arm while she writes it in her handwriting. I mean, there's people who are aware of the FBI rules.
Yeah. This is from Guy and Marlena from Columbus. Stephanie, following up on your comment related to the execution of Rush Limbaugh, if someone thought that maybe you ought to be executed for, let's see, being a liberal dumbass, would the bullet hit anything as it passed through your skull?
Oh.
I don't really know, but the FBI, I'm sure, will speak to you about that.
Right.
Okay. All right. Sherry writes, Stephanie, idiot. That's in the parentheses.
Right on.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to tell you what an idiot, in caps, I'm a cap. Idiot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You are to say Rush should be executed. The problem with you is you hate how intelligent Rush is.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
She's a Russia. and that he helps most of us see what a sorry excuse for a president we have in the White House. You're a sorry excuse for your human being. Listen to Rushmore. You might learn something, bitch.
These are the kind of letters that women who wrote to the Night Stalker and Richard Ramirez, and write love letters to them, write to the media after they get called out for it, you know?
He has a heart of gold. Who cares if it's still got buckshot in it from when he killed those kids?
She was a Lyle and Eric Menendez from Groupie, I can tell.
Exactly.
Oh, my God, I love Eric so much. When he gets upset and that little vein in his forehead pops out.
I'd like to play mommy with him, but kind of in a not get killed way.
I would spend more time outside of prison if I didn't have to write to liberal skanks.
When he threatens to kill me, it makes me so hot.
Right.
Okay, John writes, before you intellectual pygmies on the lunatic left begin recommending the execution of real patriots like Rush and myself, who think your Kenyan-born imposter is lower than whale... I suggest you start with number one, Hanoi Jane Fonda, that treasonous Democrat slut who stabbed us Vietnam veterans in the back.
Oh, the old German Deutschstoßlegende.
Yeah. Then the skank, even uglier than you, Pelosi, who tried to screw our troops in Iraq, and that other Democrat liberal hole, Murtha. This is still the United States of America, you liberal ignoramus. Oh, good word. Not the socialist Obama Joe Mama states of America. Since no one besides your producer and voice guy has ever heard of your show, you might want to consider getting a full-time day job. John. Well, that was a nice suggestion.
Wow, to call himself no one in front of, obviously, an avid, angry listener, so that includes you in the little group.
Yeah. Helen, one of our religious right friends.
Oh, good.
Hell, yes, says, I pray that God executes your demise and eliminates you from existence. Oh. Helen.
FBI.
Yeah, but she's just praying that God does
what's
it. She's not
do?
Saying she's going to.
What's she
going to
do, beat you with a butter churn? You can just almost smell the frill, you know?
We don't do zippers around here. We call for the death of people like you.
All right.
Josh. Chunka, 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 chunka. You'll be churned to death.
Yes, exactly. I'll be churned to death. Stuff you into my butter churn and beat you to Jesus. Can't wait.
Josh writes, we heard about you wanting to start executing people. Yeah, that's what I said. I just said
exactly.
I'd like
to just line people up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, just because Russia's as big as a bunch of people doesn't mean that she's scaling in volume that way.
This is, you can tell Josh thought this was a humdinger. Starting to show your colors now. Red, you old commie cow. Honey, come look at the
armor. The commies are coming. I told you, Reagan was right.
Max writes, dear left-wing bitch, why don't we execute you and your communist left-wing pals? You are truly trash. I'd love to kick your Obama-loving ass out of my country, you piece of excrement. Go to hell.
Did you type excrement? Did he say
that? There's a lot of caps in there.
Oh, yeah.
All right. KG, now we refer to, I don't know why, the, what do you call it? How did we come up with Lurline, Jim? Because, the right-wing death threat people that I always get when I go on Fox News.
Uh-huh. Are all named Lurline.
Oh, because the guy, there's one guy that always writes to me, and he can only get things in the subject line. I don't think he realizes how to get in the big box.
The body, Lurline. Right. Okay, the body, right.
How do you work the TV with the typewriter on it?
How do you get in the big box? I'm ready to the liberal whore.
I can't get words in the big box.
The punctuating buttons change when I push the weird flat one. When I rest my hand on the left side, it just starts making letters all of a sudden. All these letters across the thing. And then I take my hand off, and all the letters stop.
It's the work of Satan.
You have to push them all one at a time? This thing should know.
We just speculate his wife's name is Lurline, and he blames her for everything in his life.
Right, yeah. This is your fault, Lurline.
KG in Seattle writes, hey, Steph, I met Lurline's husband. I was stopped at a highway rest stop in Oregon, and some guy in a truck, we'll call him Cletus, drove by me and motioned to me to open my window. He must have sussed out from my bumper sticker that I'm a liberal. Anyway, he said, do you know how to tell a dirty joke to a liberal? You tell him the truth, because he can't stand it. I stared at him dumbfounded, waiting for a punchline, and then said, okay, you have a nice day. He grinned and drove off, so proud of himself. I should have said, say howdy to Lurline, but you never know. Some of these clowns have guns. KG in Seattle.
Need to back up. How do you know Lurline? How do you know her? Have you been parking out in the Hex parking lot with her? Is that what's been going on? I've been wondering what she's been doing on Wednesday night. She says she goes to church, but I know she doesn't go to church because I don't go to church, but I know that I have a friend who says he goes, and I know he doesn't go because he just does Jaeger shots down there in the bathroom at this weird park bathroom, but I don't know why. But anyways, I know Lurline is fooling around on me. Are you it? Yes, I have out-of-state plates, sir, and I'm a female. That's why. That's why she couldn't get in the military.
All right, let's check some entertainment news, shall we?
Time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you very much. Our top story.
Stephanie Miller.
Yes, it's all the news all over the right-wing websites and talk radio shows on Friday. Thank God the moron alert system worked. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, restart. Oh, okay. I don't have my headphones, so I'm like,
I'm sorry. No, am I using your headphones?
No,
this is terrible.
This is a test of the moron alert system. This is only a test. If you seriously believe that talk show host Stephanie Miller was actually calling for the execution of fellow radio host Rush Limbaugh, then you must also believe that Franklin Delano Roosevelt caused the Great Depression.
You probably also believe that Saddam Hussein was behind 9/11 and that a high-speed train from Disneyland to the Bunny Ranch is at the top of President Obama's to-do list. That the moon landing was fake, Donald Trump's hair is real, and that the fossil record was created by Jesus on a dare from Moses 500 years ago. Oh, by the way, there's a Nigerian prince who wants to give you $3 million, and he wants you to give me $4 million to set the deal up. This has been a test of the moron alert system. And yes, I do take credit cards. Nimrod, get a brain, morons.
And finally, the headline is Stephen Baldwin says Hollywood is vulgar and offensive.
Yeah, I know, because I was watching Slumdog Millionaire and all the other movies that were going through the Oscars this year, and I'm like, what a cradle of filth. What? I mean, just the movies like The Reader and stuff, just abject sleaze.
They're not.
No message.
They
no.
Can't be considered as highbrow as, oh, let's say Threesome, the movie in which Stephen Baldwin had a threesome with Josh Charles and
Lara Flynn Boyle was in it. Yeah. Two and a half.
Because she's skinny.
Yeah, get it? Because it's like, yeah, bag of kindling. Ow! I think I got a splinter. Wow. We're not going out anymore.
Wants to have sex with a bag of kindling. Oh. Actor and media personality Stephen Baldwin says the vulgar and offensive content in Hollywood productions is one reason why the United States now has such high rates of unemployment, suicide, and teen pregnancy. Those are probably only the people that had the misfortune to go to a Stephen Baldwin film that wanted to take their own life. But Baldwin, speaking at last week's conservative political action conference in Washington, said we're allowing our culture and our youth to be assaulted by the derogatory content in Hollywood.
Oh, totally. When I saw Yes Man, I couldn't believe people weren't just leaping off roofs. Just, just look at Iron Man, the message in Iron Man. It's like, I don't know, kids just start doing heroin right then. You know what I mean?
We have actor Stephen Baldwin.
Yes, Hollywood is a sump of vulgarity and decadence. And it is the main source of the despair that is leading Americans to suicide and abortions and having sex. Maybe not in that order. If only movies were made with family values at their core and with a turning away from the gratuitous violence and silliness the most of them are full of, the world would be peaceful and loving and moral and chaste and loving and stuff. For sure no one would be having any sex if there wasn't any in the movies. It just stands to reason. I'm so glad I'm doing work now as an actor that is consistent with my born-again values. Take my latest release, Shark in Venice, the tender tale of a great white shark who is spreading the gospel in Venice while it eats people. Or the one before that, Harpies, where angels of the Lord spread Jesus' word to the people while tearing them limb from limb and eating them. And my guest shots on the TV series Eyes, which featured attractive women giving their testimony about their personal relationship with God while drinking martinis in low-cut dresses and killing people. Hey, the gospel is clear. You either get with Jesus like I did or go to hell. If you're feeling low and suicidal, don't blame me. My movies are wholesome Christian entertainment. You're on your own, sinner man. Talking to you, Alec.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward Balderall.
Check out Jim Ward's Impossible But True. There's a banner ad for it right there on the Stephanie Miller website.
Oh, wow.
StephanieMiller.com.
Cool. I'm going to check that out right now.
You got in a blog war with Stephen Baldwin, Hal Sparks?
Well, yeah, we just kind of went back and forth on it. And the thing is, I never spoke to him, and he never really spoke to me, but people, like, who would read either one or both, you know? Which, I mean, most of the people who, like, read mine were like, I was just reading about his. He's insane. And I'm like, why are you reading his? The world isn't full of crap to pour into your head at all times. Like, seriously, Fox News is on. Like, I'm one of my best friends, Doug, who's a beautiful black gay man who's 6 feet tall and a musician. He's a fantastic person, and he watches Fox all the time. He's like, I can't believe what they say. Turn it off.
Back slowly away from the Fox News.
Seriously, just leave it alone. I don't want to hear about it. I know they're wrong. I got that years ago. They haven't changed anything they've said. Like, I read Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged. I get where they're off on a corner. I understand that. I don't need to hear them screw it up in new and creative ways. They're not coming up with new dumb ideas that will make me interested. No.
We watch, right. So you don't have to. That's what we do here, for God's sakes.
And you do a great service. I used to do it on Talk Soup, but at least my stuff was like comical and pointless. This is actually venomous and gross.
This is like, what the Fox? This is what we do every day, an episode of What the Fox? 20 minutes after the hour, back with more of the comedian, actor Hal Sparks, Prop 8, and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It may cause dizziness, sexual nightmares, and sleep crime.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, that is rockin' music. 25 minutes after the hour. Joined in the studio by actor, comedian, musician, Hal Sparks.
It's true.
This is
your
band?
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that roll-in. I was like, wow, I had no idea how much good... Listen to that solo. That's fantastic. Did that with a broken finger.
Really?
Got three screws in it. I broke it while we were recording it.
Wow. Because most of the phone calls we've gotten this morning is, oh my God, Hal is so cute. What's with his hair? Why won't he cut his hair? What's happening? I saw him on Rachel Maddow. He has like rock caveman,
relax,
rock and roll hair.
People. I'm an actor. I go through different transitional looks. It's part of the, you know. The problem is I was under contract for 7 years with this particular short haircut because of Talk Soup and then into Queer as Folk that I, like, afterwards, I was like, I'm just going to let my hair grow out while I work. And then I got three movies where I have long hair, kind of in succession.
Right.
And now everyone's confused because it takes movies longer to come out than television. So they're like, why? What the?
Hey.
I don't know. So, like, relax. It's fine.
I know. People watching Rachel Maddow are like,
oh, my God.
Yes. Korg 2000
Johnny,
BC.
I know. Johnny Depp has short hair right now. Cool it. He'll grow it back out to cheek level in a moment. He'll look.
What films have you done?
Oh, well, I did.
That we can look forward to.
The House that Jack Built. I did a bit in the new Mike Judge movie, Extract, which will be out later this year. And then there's a new one that I'm shooting next month. So we're in the deal processing part of that. And then I have to get my hair cut for a series, which is very exciting. So there's all kinds of nutty stuff.
All right. What about the band? What's the band about?
Yeah, I've been in bands since I was a kid. My dad's a bluegrass musician, among other things. And so I grew up in a family where you're musical. You have to play an instrument.
You were forced to.
Yes. And, of course, if your family's into bluegrass, you're definitely going to be into metal. So just to get away from them, especially they live in Kentucky and you couldn't wait to get out of there like, I don't know, baboon's liver. You're just kind of like, get me out of here. Where did you put me? This is my band 01 and we're on MySpace and all that stuff.
Woo-hoo!
And iTunes and it's great. And I'm working on the second record now.
Cool. Here's another fun fact about Hal Sparks. He was just feeling me up during the commercial break, for which I could not be more grateful. He was a guest on my most recently canceled TV show, I've Got a Secret, on the Oxygen Network, and the producers actually had to tell us to cool it and stop acting so slutty. It's a family show.
Because I couldn't keep my hands off you. It's true, absolutely. And
literally, the producer came out, could you and Hal cool it, please? There's kids watching.
There's not kids watching. There's women watching. And they love it. So relax.
they wanted to be me.
Yeah, exactly. And me. You know, there's all kinds of women out there. Like, you don't have to discriminate. This is going to be anybody. There's some touching. Believe me. People are fans of touching. And then people need to touch more. Right now, when you're fearful and scared in the world.
He really was, Chris, wasn't he? He was just rubbing my back, and he said, should I stop? I'm like, are you crazy?
Are you out of your mind?
Stop.
We go back further than that, though.
Oh, yes, we do.
Yes.
We'll talk about that much more, and Prop 8 and all the doings in California as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Listen, you get that
Stephanie Miller
in here. We need more laughs on the show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Joined in the studio by actor, comedian, musician extraordinaire Hal Sparks.
Hiya.
And you're wondering, what do Hollywood people talk about in the commercial breaks? We talked about Hal's acupuncturist.
Victoria, who's fantastic.
She says what when the needles are done?
She puts a heat lamp on certain parts of your body while the needles are going in, and when she's done, it beeps or it dings, so she comes in and goes, my muffin is done. My muffin is done. Hello, muffin. And then she comes in and pulls the needles out of you. It's fantastic.
I've told this story before. It's how I knew I lived in Hollywood first. I asked a friend to go hiking once, and she said, I can't. I have to take my acting teacher's dog to the acupuncturist.
Whoa.
You do not hear that everywhere in the country.
No.
Here's it, because we were talking about insomnia. Here's the other thing. My friend's 8-year-old frequently answers the phone, and I said, hi, honey, is your mommy there? His mommy can't come to the phone. She's in her hyperbaric chamber.
Wow.
Again, don't hear that everywhere. In California.
No.
Yes, you do.
But there are regional things no matter where you go. If you're in Tennessee, daddy's stuck in a barrel. You won't hear that here. You know what I mean?
Daddy's stuck in a barrel.
Mama fell in the outhouse, and the dog's pulling her out. Okay.
She'll be on the phone in a second.
Yeah, right. Put the phone down and keep holding the treat so he knows which direction to go.
Let's play compare and contrast. Right, exactly. Children's excuses as to where parents are when you call around the country.
You can say only in ... almost anywhere in the country.
Oh, I met a new friend who is a vegetarian who eats bacon. She's a vegetarian, technically. Right. Seriously. She's a vegetarian, except she loves bacon. I'm like, is that allowed?
No, apparently. It's not, actually. Then you're not a vegetarian.
Oh, I have another friend that eats, been out to dinner with her a couple times, eats no wheat, no dairy, no sugar, no carbonation, no alcohol, no caffeine, and she smokes like a chimney.
Yeah. Huh.
Smoky.
You have a lot of people with, an odd variable moral and ethical shift in them.
Sliding scale here in California.
It's just, I like one big blind spot. That's how I live. I just want to, you know what I mean? I pay my taxes. I'm friendly to my neighbors. But every so often, I'll stab a homeless man just for the heck of it. Oh,
is that wrong?
Exactly. What's wrong with you?
It's just a hobby. Right?
I don't know. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't know. I'd love to quit. It's very hard. I've tried a couple of times. Well, I'm on the patch.
Hitler it's harder to quit than bacon.
Right, exactly.
It's a big blind spot.
Also, it may or may not be completely true, the vegetarian part. He was also a dog lover. But I don't think that groups him into, I know a lot of dog lovers who wouldn't go line them all up and shoot them.
So, all right, you've been speaking out on Prop 8, among other things, among other political topics. So I don't, I'm not a lawyer, but I don't get this ruling. So the California Supreme Court could decide there are two kinds of same-sex couples, those who can't get married and those who already did.
Right.
A ruling that upholds both voters' decision to ban gay marriage and the 18,000 same-sex marriage conducted earlier in California could come off as a safe compromise. It also promises to keep alive an issue that has split the state, as few others have. Such a decision would give same-sex marriage advocates an avenue to pursue a federal appeal. And an argument for compelling the state to get out of the marriage business.
Yeah, you can get basically the California Supreme Court kicking the ball down the field, essentially, so that it's no longer their problem. That's, that's what that ruling would be, because there's no legal basis for anything like that. You know, that's like saying we're going to turn all the Japanese except for 20,000 of them,
yes,
and we'll let them walk around the populace, and maybe we'll rearrest them later. We haven't decided. You know, it's absurd. You cannot legislate the ability for...
I don't see how legally you can say these marriages are legal, but now you can't do... I don't understand.
You can't. And you also can't legislate the majority having the ability to eliminate the rights of any particular minority. And the more it's viewed as a minority rights issue, the more it becomes ridiculous. And that's really what's happening, is that everybody is trying to... Because doing a legal battle, we have these movies like The Verdict and stuff where you just think legal fights are won at once, But they're not. A lot of them are stretched out over decades and rewritten and redrafted and fought from another angle. Thankfully, Prop 22, which is originally what was overturned and made people able to get married in the first place, Prop 8's worded almost exactly the same way, except there's, I think it's slightly dumber even. I think it's written in, hammers and crayons. I think they just kind of went, me make a bill! And, and that part is, it will be easier to overturn. But I think some of the judges who seem the most... worrisome to some people, are actually making sure that their arguments get in there and fail so that later on, if it doesn't squeak through, they can say, well, we brought that up, but that was dismissed, and we agreed that would be dismissed.
One legal expert said, if they say Prop 8 is valid but doesn't touch existing marriages, what that raises is the fact that there are now these two groups of couples who are treated differently under the law for no functional reason.
Right.
So it almost... there was an earlier ruling that ruled gay people a protected class, which I don't understand how then legally you can actually...
You can take that away. You can't.
How can you then say, but not these rights?
You can't. And then Ken Starr's argument was, well, you can actually take any right away by a simple majority, which is the most absurd... Then what the heck do we have a constitution for? Why do we even have cops for that reason?
Right.
I mean, if I could take away your right to live because there's six of us and one of you... and I can beat you to death, and there's not eight people here to stop us.
Right.
This is a seven-person equation. Then, really, why do we enforce any kind of law?
No, good point. Well, so California already affords same-sex couples who register as domestic partners all the rights and benefits of marriage. As a practical matter, that means wed and unwed same-sex couples should not have different experiences when it comes to issues such as hospital visitation, filing state income taxes, or suing for child support. In reality, though, service providers, employers, and public agencies still have a hard time regarding domestic partners as legal equivalent of married spouses. The confusion is especially great when couples visit states without similar categories.
Absolutely.
The fact is, it's just not the same.
Or you
it's
have
not
an insurance,
the same as marriage.
Or you have an insurance company that's out of state. That's one of the bigger issues, too, is the reason it needs to be, like, verifiable in your state that we are married in the state of California. Then you check the box when you're with Mutual of Omaha and you choose Allstate or whatever as your insurance company.
Right.
It's direct, whereas if the state that the insurance company is in isn't pro-domestic partnerships, but the state you're in is, there's a lot of legal wrangling that goes on and also creates openings, and you know insurance companies are always great about, you know, prying in the middle and going, well, technically we don't have to validate these, you know, we've been taking your premiums for years, but we don't have to pay out because technically we don't cover unmarried couples.
I think I told this story. I had a tree on my property that split in half, fell half on my house and half on the neighbor's house, and they would only pay for the half that fell on my house. They were like, well, it wasn't technically your fault. So, and I'm like, oh, well, let me just tell my neighbor.
Right.
Like, they wouldn't pay for that because there's some, you know, clause for something.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's and you should have taken a picture of you with a chainsaw out front and went, it was a mental lapse. That's in my policy. I sawed it in half. So technically it is my fault. But, so, yeah, so that's that is the biggest issue is that anytime you set up a situation where a simple majority can remove the rights of any minority, you create an immensely slippery slope, and hopefully they will recognize that.
Right.
Even opponents of gay marriage should know that this is completely stupid. And I like to put the fear of Allah into those people in particular. Just look at Michigan, which has a very strong Muslim population. There are certain areas where if all the Muslims in a particular town got together and decided we want at least some semblance of Sharia law, you could pass ordinances if you use the California system.
Right.
And
right.
arguably they would come to pass, and they would be stoning people for adultery and burying them up to their necks and, you know, that kind of stuff. All the stuff that they go, they're inhuman! And, you know, go, well, you're arguing for the same religious fanatical ability.
Right.
You're just doing it from a different angle.
Yep. So gay rights leaders are already preparing for a return to the ballot box because,
because they broke them last time. The Mormons are now broke. They spent all their money on this. There are a bunch of Mormon families who are like, I spent all my money getting Prop 8 through and it might get overturned. Yeah, and we might, if it does get upheld, then we'll just reverse it through another well-written bill. So, good luck.
So sad.
Good luck
to
in this
you.
Economy.
Yeah, Dan in Chapel Hill, North Carolina for Hal Sparks. Hello, Dan.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to tell Hal, I'm a bluegrass musician, and my son has also gone to the dark side. I bought him a beautiful old D18, and he's got three Fenders, and, you know, he just can't get enough of it.
I'll give you some hope, though. I have a 69 D18 that I play, because in my family, you have a birth year guitar. It's a big thing. And bluegrass is redneck speed metal, by the way. It is a guys being able to play their instruments so well that faster is the only option.
Exactly.
You know, I'm a big fan of Sam Bush and Bela Fleck and all the guys in Newgrass Revival and J.D. Crow, and they're the ones who taught me that faster and more precise is better. So he'll come around. Believe me, he'll want to learn to play mandolin when he hits 35.
Well, I'm hoping when he gets out of college and needs money, then he'll maybe start.
Oh, so you're trying to force him into it.
Yeah.
You want me to
now,
pay?
Are you related to Larry Sparks?
No. Well, I don't know. I mean, there could be a few. I suppose I'm related to Harry Sparks. He's my dad.
Oh, okay.
All right.
And he does all Sam Bush's fretwork on his mandolins.
No,
all
right.
It's true.
Because Larry Sparks has the most beautiful, soulful voice in bluegrass. I don't know if you...
Well, then we probably are related.
You got to be.
Yeah.
Wow, we were like at 6 degrees of Sparks bluegrass.
Absolutely. See, I told you.
His son is lost to him now. Once you go bluegrass, you never go back.
No, No, he'll come back to him. He'll believe me. Like, I play mandolin now, and, I mean, if the idea that when I bought my first, you know, Ibanez electric guitar that looked, you know, because it looked kind of like Steve Vai's guitar, that I would ever play mandolin and listen to Nickel Creek was just an anathema to me. It was, like, horrible. But now it makes total sense. Like, it all fits together, you know.
By the way,
you're singing with Alison Krauss now. So.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, boys, faster is not always better. Maybe in bluegrass, but...
It is if you can sustain it for a long time.
Well, I think we know what we're doing on this commercial break.
Speed and sustain. 45. That's my two big metal things that I take to everywhere else.
You need a pedal for that?
Yeah, no, I don't.
I think somebody's going to be typing Stephanie in the referral box during the commercial break. 44 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. That is... hilarious.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 48 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll, free from anywhere. Joined live in the studio by comedian, actor Hal Sparks.
Hi.
David, Orange County, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Hal. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Steph. I wanted to let you know I was watching Fox News over the weekend due to my downsized S&M budget. And I happened to notice that they discovered the Friday news dump for the first time in 8 years and went on to explain it as this is a time when the administration releases news, very unpopular news, on a Friday afternoon so it won't be noticed.
Mm.
And the unpopular news that they released on Friday was the stem cell research.
Oh, yes. Right. He's doing crazy stuff.
He's
like trying to
stuff
cure
under the
disease.
Radar.
Mm-hmm.
How are we supposed to manage all these things at once? Look, okay, what you're supposed to do when you're a Democratic president, okay, we agreed with the last two we had. We had did this with Clinton. We did this with Carter. We worked it out. You come in. You do one issue. We beat you up on it for weeks on end. You don't go on the press and defend yourself. You just try to do the policy, and then we stop it. That's how it works.
They seem befuddled by this.
Sometimes it takes a year or so, but we stop it. That's how. But you can't do like this five-prong attack. This is not fair. Are you been reading Sun Tzu?
You've been reading
Sun Tzu, haven't you? You're not supposed to. We're supposed to be the party of Sun Tzu. I can't even pronounce it right, but I know that. That's what they're
they
really
do.
Doing.
They seem he's bringing back wildly popular things like science that will help people and cure disease.
God
like, what?
Forbid. Yes,
no.
Absolutely. Look, the Lord, if these people were meant to live, the Lord would want you, look, rats are one thing. The Lord wants you to play with rats, obviously. Let you little scientists do what you want to do, you know, inject them with stuff, grow ears on their back. I think it's cute. But this is not, man is not supposed to save other men. The occasional Heimlich maneuver, that's all we do. Is when you're at the all-you-can-eat buffet down at Shoney's out in the mall because it's the only thing left open in our dead town. If you want to do that and you go down there and you don't go back to your seat to eat, and sometimes something will get stuck in there. And the pastor knows the Heimlich, so he'll do that on you. That's okay. But this is ridiculous. If the Lord wanted these people to jog, I don't want to start in on this.
Okay.
But the truth is, he's wrong.
Thank you, Hal.
Absolutely. That wasn't me. I was
wow. How about
Leylinda? What's her name? Leylinda or whatever.
Lurleen. How about this Michael Steele, by the way?
What's up, baby?
The new head of the...
How you doing, baby? What's up, dog? I'm waiting for him to slip out dog, in a sense. And it's funny because it's freaking the Republicans out. They're the ones who have the... We're like, oh, that's kind of funny and cool, whatever. Do what you want. You know, he says baby a lot. It's a little silly, especially because he's talking to Republicans. But it's the Republicans that are like, ha, ha, ha! You know,
yeah.
Why is he saying that? We don't use those words. We've spent the last 20 years talking about anybody who says those words.
We don't want to go hip-hop. We don't speak jive here in the Republican Party.
I speak jive.
Oh, good.
And give me a little medicine.
Jive as you don't got no brains anyhow.
Well, that's exactly it. You know, it's like, I've got the perfect solution for the Republicans. I'm going to come out and speak Farsi. Like, that's really what, it's the equivalent of just coming out and going, Malaikum Salam.
An array of top Republican officials and strategists are expressing concern over Steele's month-long and so far disastrous tenure as head of
the Wow, they're
Republican
turning
Party.
On him as fast as they're turning on Obama. Like, he should have fixed everything. We should be the party in power again. We should be proud of the presidency and control Congress. It's been a month.
It's been 7 weeks, and he hasn't fixed everything yet.
Yeah, exactly.
The problem with Michael Steele, he tends to go on television and open his pie hole entirely too often, and then...
You know what? As someone who opens their pie hole for a living, I'm not against the actual activity of opening your pie hole. It's just that something substantive should come out.
Yes. His spokesman said there's a learning curve in this job on Steele's approach to interviews.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Not as steep as the Palin learning curve, but...
There is concern among Republicans that even when Steele tries to make amends for his verbal missteps, he only compounds the problem.
Yeah.
And Thursday's Washington Post, for example, Steve said he's in the business of ticking people off. That's not traditionally how people perceive the job, party leader. Nobody really understands what those comments mean, said a veteran party strategist, likening Steele to a teenager who has now got the keys to the car and is excited.
No, see, they're confused because he's ticking off Republicans. He's not supposed to take off party members. He can take off the entire rest of the world if you want to Dick Cheney it, you know. I don't care what anybody thinks. You know, that's fine.
It seems like their whole strategy, Jim was saying this, is just, look over here, we have a black guy. And Jim's like, you get that it's not just any black guy, right?
Yeah. Well, that's what makes it even more racist. That's what they don't understand. But we have a black guy.
Look, we got a black guy, but we got a brown guy.
Yeah.
Huh? It's all good.
Yeah.
Are we inclusive or what?
I mean, he's saying the same thing that we've been telling him to say. And, you know, sure, they're puppet people. Sure, we're forcing them to say this or we'll drop them from their position. But that's not the point.
And we got a chick. That was just like Hillary.
Yeah.
Look, we got a chick. Look.
Also, just, too, in addition, moreover.
I'll try to find you some and I'll bring them to you.
Okay. Okay.
Well, that's the thing. Like, we had Ann Coulter, and you didn't buy that. So we went up to Alaska, and we mined ourselves a beauty queen, you know.
And you in didn't... what respect, Charlie?
In every respect, Sarah.
Meghan McCain, did you see this? She wrote in her, I don't know, blog that I don't know who reads, that her dating life is on life support after her father's failed campaign.
Well, yeah. Somebody, apparently one of the guys said, you could be my Cindy.
Yeah, which is creepy.
But, like, I mean, obviously it was on life support to begin with because she went out with the guy in the first place. You know, that's not a surprise. You know, circles you run in, I suppose.
She said, here's the surprise. I'm not only turned off by people who voted for Barack Obama, I'm also turned off by people that voted for my dad. Or even more so, obsessive supporters of my dad.
That's great. Well, yeah. You know, maybe she'll meet a nice Ron Paul supporter and settle down someplace. Yeah. She'll live on Prison Planet with Alex Jones and myself and Jim. By the way, I love you for that, and I don't think you get nearly enough credit, Jim. Because I spend a lot of time looking at the striations of chemtrails across the sky and go, L.A.'s got it bad, but, you know, I travel all over the country, and you look up, and you're like, they're planning something.
Jeff in Santa Fe. Oh, you're on with Hal Sparks. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Hal. I wanted to say, first of all, it's an honor to talk to you, and I wanted to thank you for doing Queer as Folk. I know that was a huge show for you. And
absolutely.
My friends and I used to get together and have big watching parties, and it was an annual pilgrimage to Showtime every year.
Right.
So it was my reality, even if it's not someone else's reality. No show's ever perfect. But,
sure.
Anyway, I wanted to say, you know, going back to the stem cell research thing, you know, I wish Republicans cared as much about the babies after they were born as they did when they were fetuses.
Absolutely. That was Carlin's argument. You know, if you're pre-born, you're fine. If you're preschool, you're beep.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, don't give them an education. Don't give them welfare.
No.
Don't give them a chance to get away from whatever poverty-stricken area that they're born in. Because
the Lord wanted them born poor. The Lord wanted them born poor. So that they can learn the valuable lesson.
They'll be more like Jesus.
Yeah. To give them a stronger moral choice. Well, and thank you for that. Because that's what you do when you do a show like Queer as Folk. You hope that it actually becomes what you want it to be, that it sociopolitically has actually some kind of impact. And it seems to be. I mean, I always said that it would take 4 years after the end of Queer as Folk for it to actually, people to know what the value of the show would be.
Right, right.
Oh,
I thought it was great.
Yeah.
I love the show.
I was obviously a fan of it as well. And but, you know, and now you're kind of seeing the kids and young people who watched Queer as Folk and the people who watched it are now in a position to vote and push through issues. And it's one of the reasons why Prop 8 and those kind of things is getting such a fight.
Well, the more important issue is, oh, my God, the guy that played Ryan, is it hot as you are? What's he doing now?
No. Well, he was on, the Desperate Housewives. And he had a motorcycle accident. Yeah. So he was in the hospital for a bit. I don't think he's working. That's the last I heard. He's healing, though.
I'd be glad to give him some sort of a sponge bath.
There's a line outside of women with soggy sponges running all the way out into the parking lot.
What? How can we find out about Hal Sparks?
On MySpace and Facebook. I'm the real Hal Sparks on MySpace. And, of course, you can Twitter me.
I would love to.
Absolutely,
hello.
If you know what I mean.
All right.
Yes,
see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.